Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. We continue with the closing episodes of Isle of a Mystery, Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge. A pattern of intrigue and international murders has been developing. One man was caught in a bear trap, and the two girls have vanished. Here's episode 15.
American Radio Theater presents I Love a Mystery. New Carlton E. Morse adventure thriller, Terror of Frozen Corpse Lodge.
O'clock in the dull, sub-zero weather of mid-morning, snowbound at Frozen Corpse Hunting Lodge, high and isolated in the Sierra Mountains, somewhere on the California-Nevada border. A pattern of international intrigue, a pattern involving ruthless murder, a design of reckless desperation is revealing itself here at the snowbound lodge of J. Irving Stark, where Jack, Doc, and Jerry Booker, their secretary, were invited for a weekend. In the beginning, the ancient butler Mansfield was murdered just as he was on the point of revealing some information. Next, J. Irving was accidentally scalded with boiling water when he suddenly became excited and started to babble some information. He fainted and was put to bed, but within an hour he attempted to flee from the lodge despite his terribly burned legs and was shot down from the kitchen door. He is not dead, but he is lying unconscious in his bed attended by Jones, the new butler. Jones is not all he seems to be. Like A.J. Ben, who came out of the snowstorm saying he was lost, Jones is here on some kind of mysterious mission of his own. Doc thinks Jones is a killer and the man who shot J. Irving. Jack says nothing but continues to trust him. The other invalid in the lodge is the millionaire fiancé of Gail Stark, Bruce Garrett. He was found in the snow trench, which had been dug from the kitchen door to the barn, with his ankle caught in a bear trap. Someone had set the trap in the runway to prevent anyone reaching the barn without giving warning. And now, to add to the growing catastrophe of Frozen Corpse Lodge, Jerry Booker and Gail Stark have been kidnapped. The girls are gone, and on the floor of their room, A.J. Ben, unconscious. They can't have been taken far, as the lodge and outbuildings are snowbound in from 6 to 8 feet of new snow. Everything points to their being held prisoner somewhere in the great stable. Upstairs in the lodge, Jack and Doc are making last-minute preparations for a full assault on the barn.
Here, Doc, strap on your gun.
Why, doggone, if it ain't my old .48 shooting pistol.
Yeah, I dug him out of the suitcases.
Now I know we're looking for trouble. We're going out to the barn and shoot everything in sight. That the idea, Jack?
Well, at least shoot before you get shot. Where's that P.O.?
Hey, P.O.
Si, senor.
What you keep wandering off for? Come here.
Senor. Senor, that is no way for one fella to talk to another fella.
Pio, you're going with us.
Going with you, senor?
Yes, to search the barn.
Si, if you wish, but I do not know why.
Never mind why. We may need you.
Si? Then I will go to get ready.
No, you stay right here.
But, senor, the heavy coat, the boots. I cannot go out in this freeze-up weather this way.
We'll give you a chance to put on your coat and boots. Right now, you stick with us.
But that is most crazy thing. Senor, you wear the gun strapped to your hip?
Took you long enough to notice.
Senor, is it that you are going to kill somebody?
Darn tootin', there's a couple of skunks I'd like nothing better than to make sieves out of.
But, senor, it is against the law to shoot people.
Not the people I got in mind. What are we standing here chewing the fat about, Jack? Why ain't we on our way?
Just checking through my suitcase. Here. You better put a couple extra boxes of cartridges in your pocket.
Okay.
Mamacita mia. For goodness gee whiz sakes alive. That is enough shot to fight whole war, I betcha.
This box is for the son of a sea cook that killed old Mansfield and shot J. Irvin. And this other box is for the bushy-tail coyotes that snatched Gale and Jerry Booker.
Flashlights, pocket medical kit, shells. Yeah, I guess that's everything. Let's get started.
In about time. What we've been a-wasting all this time for, I don't know.
The girls aren't in any immediate danger, Doc.
What do you mean they ain't in danger? Whoever's got them only committed about 6 murders we know of so far. They'd suit as cut their hearts out as look at them.
Yes, except you're forgetting one thing.
That being?
That if they just wanted them dead, they'd have killed them here in the lodge, not dragged them off down to the barn.
Huh, then what is the idea?
Looks pretty much like they took the girls to put the pressure on somebody here in the lodge. Threatened to kill the girls if somebody here doesn't do something they want.
That could only be Jay Irvin or Bruce Garrett. They're the only ones interested in Miss Gale.
And just don't forget that you and I are interested in Jerry Booker, though. And we've undertaken to help Miss Stark. So we're interested in her, too.
Well, what the heck me and you got they could want?
Maybe they want us to call our dogs off.
Hmm. You mean they threatened to kill Jerry and Miss Stark if we don't quit looking into these murders?
Could be. What about it, P.O.?
How could I know about things like that? I am only caretaker here.
Okay, suppose it's like you say. Then what?
Then, as long as we don't do anything...
Like going down to the barn and investigating, huh?
As long as we don't try to rescue the girls or get too curious about what's going on around here, I'd say the girls are perfectly safe.
But the minute we get tough, they'll take it out on little old Jerry, huh?
Something like that. Well, let's go see what happens.
Hey, wait a minute, feller.
Huh? What's the matter?
Jack, we can't just go busting out there putting them girls in danger like that.
You mean you want them to get away with this?
No, of course I don't, but we gotta think of something.
See, that is way, senor. Think of something. These hombres must be pretty smart to kidnap the senoritas right under our noses. Yes, no? So we must think of something smart to get them back.
P.O.
Si, Senor Packard?
You're the caretaker.
Si, I am caretaker.
Good. You just go right on being the caretaker and let us worry about getting the girls back.
But, Senor, si, that is right. I will keep my big mouth shut. Si.
Just the same. Jack, if you know what you're talking about. Hey, look, there's Mr. Ben. I thought he was slugged and out cold.
He still doesn't look very conscious.
Yeah, look at him weave coming down the hall.
My goodness, Senor Ben, he acts drunk.
So would you if you'd been blackjacked the way he was. Hey, Ben.
What? Who said that?
Ben, you shouldn't be up walking around like this.
Huh? Why not?
I didn't think you'd even wake for another couple of hours. Here, let me help you. Come on, sit down.
Where? I can't see very good.
Here. You're right at the head of the stairs. Sit down on the step.
Oh. Oh, what a head.
Yeah, that was a Lollapalooza you got that time, feller. Did you see who done it?
What? Oh, who did it? Wait a minute. Where was I? What was I supposed to be doing when it happened?
Jack sent you to see if Miss Stark and Jerry was still locked in Jerry's room.
Oh, yes. I was to get the medical kit at the same time.
Yeah, now you're hitting on all 8.
Yes, I knocked on Miss Booker's door and it opened. I stepped inside and I felt the blow and felt myself falling.
Yeah, then you didn't see nobody.
I'm afraid not.
Never mind. Don't think about it. Give that head a chance to stop aching.
But what happened after that?
The 2 girls were kidnapped.
What? Oh, my head. Oh.
Yes, don't try to get up. Doc, run into the bathroom and get a glass of water.
Si, I will do it.
No.
But, senor.
No, I want you here. Doc, go get it.
You bet.
Oh, Doc, there's some tablets on my dressing table. Put a couple in the water and stir them up.
Okay.
That'll relieve the dizziness and most of the pain. If you haven't got anything worse than a bump on the head, which I don't think you have.
Well, it's plenty, whatever it is.
Senor Packard, I wish to ask you a question.
Well, P.O.?
What is the business that you always want to keep me with you?
I just want you around.
But, Senor, why?
No reason.
Is it that you do not trust me anymore, maybe? Is that so?
Not necessarily.
I think that is true. You do not trust me, and that make me very angry, senor. I do not like it when I am not trusted. I am most unhappy. I can tell you those, senor.
Yes, I can imagine.
I am most trustworthy man there is in all of California, in all of Nevada, in all of the United States.
That's very possible.
It is not only possible. It is so.
Uh-huh.
So when you do not trust me, senor, I am mad.
Uh-huh.
Look, maybe you have never saw Pio when he is mad. Look at me, senor. Look at me. I am one mad hombre.
Yeah. Very pathetic.
Senor, insult to Pio.
What's going on now?
I just insulted Pio again.
Well, ain't that a shame. Here, Mr. Ben, take a slug of this. Guaranteed to take the top of your head off and make you feel better all in one explosion.
Oh, thanks. I don't notice any... Oh, great Jehoshaphat!
Woo! Feel better now?
Holy mackerel! What was that stuff?
Powerful, son, but it does the work.
Yes, my mind's much clearer and my head isn't... Well, it still hurts, but not much. Just tell me again, did you say the two girls have been kidnapped?
Yes. We think they're being held out in the barn. We were just deciding what to do about it when you came wobbling out into the hall.
Do about it? Well, go after them, naturally.
But if they're being held as hostages, like Jack thinks, that's the worst thing we can do as far as the girls are concerned.
Yes, I'm afraid you're right. There's something I just thought of.
What's that?
Well, if two girls were taken out of this house, it seems reasonable that it took at least two men to handle them.
Hey, you mean there's more people down at that barn than just the sniper?
I'd say so. Wouldn't you, Packard?
Yes. I feel pretty sure of it.
One papers. Two papers. I do not believe it. Maybe you think there is whole army hiding down in stable.
Of course, if somebody here in the lodge give the sniper a hand, I mean, once the girls was gagged and tied up, the sniper could hike him down to the barn alone, couldn't he?
Maybe. But it looks like a sizable organized gang's work to me.
Well, whatever it is, this ain't finding a way of getting down to the barn without putting the girls on the spot.
If they're at the barn.
What do you mean? They've got to be at the barn. There's no place else they could be.
How about a plane on skis? Couldn't the girls be taken out of here on a plane equipped with skis?
That's ridiculous. A plane either trying to land or take off on new unpacked snow would sink out of sight.
I suppose the same thing would go for a sleigh or a dog team.
Yes. A man on snowshoes could make it, but not with two kidnapped girls in tow. The girls have just got to be in the barn someplace.
But I tell you, senor!
You know something, Pio?
What, senor?
It seems to me you're all fired anxious for us not to go down and examine your barn.
It's not my barn, senor. It's Senor Stark's barn.
Just the same, you'd sure like to keep us away. I felt it, too.
No, I do not want to keep you away. Anytime you wish to go to barn, I am happy. I will go with you. I do not care. It is not for me to say. I am just Pio, the caretaker.
Now, ain't that nice and polite and humble?
Never mind, Doc. I want to take one more look in on Bruce Garrett before we start something.
Huh? Why Garrett?
See if there's any signs of blood poison in that ankle. Ben, you better sit here and take it easy until we get back.
I'm going to the barn with you, though.
Okay. Pio, you stay here with Ben.
But, senor!
Stay here with Ben. See that he does, Ben.
Even if I have to shoot him.
Senor, that is a terrible thing to say.
It's even a worse thing to have happen.
Okay, we'll be just a minute. Come on, Doc.
Honest to goodness, Jack, it looks as though all you're doing is stalling around killing time. What do we have to go see Garrett again for?
I want to see his ankle, and then I want to stop in at Stark's room and see how he's doing.
Leaving that new butler Jones in there with him alone, if you ask me, Stark's more likely to be dead by this time than anything else.
Uh-huh.
No kidding, Jack. What is the gag? Are you just stalling, or do you know something? Are you waiting for something to happen?
Here we are. Now take it easy. If Garrett's asleep, we don't want to waken him.
Awful darn dark in there.
Yeah, the shades are drawn so he could sleep. I'll have a look at him. Doc! Doc! Doc, he's not in bed.
Bruce Garrett's gone.
Snap up the shade, quick!
You betcha. What the heck become of him? You think he was kidnapped too?
Not a chance. Look, He got up and dressed himself the minute we were out of sight.
But his ankle was caught in that bear trap, Jack.
Ankle or no ankle, he's up and gone.
Where? To the barn?
Where else? There's something mighty funny here. First, Stark. The backs of his legs were burned so bad he couldn't stand on them. And yet he did stand on them, and he tried to run from the lodge to the barn.
Yeah, and he was shot in the back for his efforts.
Yeah. And now Bruce Garrett gets out of bed with a mangled ankle.
Son, that's sure something down at the barn. They ain't no two ways about that. How about us heading in that direction, too?
Come on.
We're on our way?
Yes. Just as soon as I check with Jones and see how Stark is.
Well, what's Stark got to do with this?
Hey, what's the matter? Something wrong?
Hey, Ben. Bruce Garrett's not in his room.
Garrett's not in his room?
Mama Diablo! Señor Garrett?
Yes. Dressed and gave us a slip. Headed for the barn, of course.
For my goodness, gee whiz.
Pio, come back here.
The Señor Garrett, he is sick, man.
Never mind that. You come back here.
But, Señor...
I'm not fooling. You see this gun? Come back here or take a load of this.
Oh, but naturally, Señor. When you put it that way, of course, I will do what you say.
You'd better.
Hey, hey, look. J. Irvin Stark's door's opening, Jack.
What? Oh, it's Jones. Hey, Jones, are you looking for me?
Mr. Packard, you'd better come to Mr. Stark's room at once.
Why? What's the matter?
He's beginning to regain consciousness. He's trying to tell us something, I think.
Señor, look there. Down these stairs.
Huh? What's the matter, Pio?
Señor, I just see them go into the trophy room.
You saw who go into the trophy room?
The señoritas. They have blood on them. The señoritas, they cry. Señor, they cry. Please to come.
You seen Jerry Booker and Miss Stark?
See.
Well, then, what are we waiting for?
Wait a minute.
What the heck's the matter, Jack?
This is crazy. Everyone dashing downstairs like this? Doc, you and Ben go on down. See if the girls really are down there. Jones, you and Pio come back upstairs with me.
But, Señor!
You heard me. Go on, Doc.
Yeah, come on, Mr. Ben.
Come on back up, Pio. You too, Jones.
Yes, mister.
If Mr. Stark's talking, I don't want to miss it.
But, Señor, this is bad way you treat Pio.
Jones, you didn't even close Mr. Stark's door when you came out.
I know it. Mister, it's just across the hall from the head of the stairs. I thought I could keep an eye on him.
Well, come on in. Jones!
What is it?
In heaven's name, mister!
Mama Diablo!
Knife in Stark's throat.
It's horrible!
Mamacita mia! The señor, he is murder!
This has been a presentation of a lost old-time radio show by American Radio Theater. I Love a Mystery was written by Carlton E. Morris. This was Book 25, Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge. Directed by Marge Lutton, assisted by Greg Porter, and produced by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Cole Hornaday as Jack Packard, Renaud LaBeouf as Doc Long, with Joy Jackson as Jerry Booker, Melinda Maines as Gail Stark, Michael Mokey O'Reilly as Pio, Greg Porter as A.J. Ben and the narrator, Dan Schindler as J. Irving Stark, Kim Turner as Mansfield, and Richard Haviland as Tuffy. Thanks also to Harry Thiel and Mike Wheeler. Live sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. Music by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge was originally broadcast May 22 to June 14, 1951. I'm Pat McNally, whom you also heard as Bruce Garrett and Jones the Butler. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Here's a word from our sponsor.
Well, Static, are we making any headway on the artifact?
Some, Lord Filtrum. The transmission appears to begin with a series of 37 prime numbers and ends with the first 37 digits of pi.
You're certain of that?
As certain as we can be. No one's ever seen a gizmo, artifact like this before.
It's always the same?
Yes, Lord, and always 2 hours and 27 minutes apart.
No clue as to what the body of the transmission is.
Well, Your Lordship, we only have a finite number of monkeys we can assign to the task.
Finite funding equals finite monkeys, Static. We could solve the world's problems if we only had unlimited funding.
Or infinite monkeys, Lord Filtrum.
To be sure.
Your Lordship.
Yes, Static?
We have turned up one possible meaning for the transmission, but I don't know if...
Lay it on me, Static.
Okay, sir, here goes. ART on the internet at www.americanradiotheater.org. Visualize audio drama.
Complete nonsense.
We'll keep at it, Lord Filtrum.
You do that, Static. The answer is probably right under your nose.
We continue with the closing episodes of Isle of a Mystery, Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge. Ruthless murders in the Snowbound Lodge. More death, but the girls are back. Here's episode 16.
American Radio Theater presents I Love a Mystery. Carlton E. Morse adventure thriller, Terror of Frozen Corpse Lodge.
O'clock in the dull, sub-zero weather of mid-morning, snowbound at Frozen Corpse Hunting Lodge, high and isolated in the Sierra Mountains, somewhere on the California-Nevada border. A pattern of ruthless murder, a design of reckless desperation is revealing itself here at the snowbound lodge of J. Irving Stark. In the beginning, the ancient butler Mansfield was murdered to keep him from talking. Next, Mr. Stark attempted to flee from the lodge despite his terribly burned legs and was mysteriously shot and wounded. He is now lying unconscious, attended by Jones, the new butler. Jones is not all he seems to be. Like A.J. Ben, who came out of the snowstorm saying he was lost, Jones is here on some mission of his own. Doc thinks Jones is the killer, but Jack continues to trust him. The other invalid in the lodge is the millionaire fiancé of Gale Stark, Bruce Garrett. He was found in the snow tunnel which had been dug from the kitchen door to the barn with his ankle caught in a bear trap. To add to the growing catastrophe, Jerry Booker and Gale Stark have disappeared. Then Bruce Garrett, in spite of his mangled ankle, dressed himself and vanished from the snowed-in lodge. Suddenly, Jones came out of J. Irving Stark's room to report that Mr. Stark was regaining consciousness and was trying to tell them something. They were about to go to Stark when Pio excitedly exclaimed he had just seen the girls go into the trophy room. In the confusion of the next few seconds, death strikes again. J. Irving Stark is found dead with a knife in his throat, while Doc and Ben rush to the trophy room to investigate the alleged return of the girls.
Come on, Mr. Ben.
Right with you.
Pio said they went into the trophy room. Hey, the door's shut. Hey, Ben, it's locked. What's going on? Hey, in there.
Go away. I'll kill the first person who comes through that door.
Hey, there in there. What kind of talk's that?
Oh, Doc, is that you?
Of course it's me. Who'd you think it was?
Golly, why didn't you say so? Oh, Mr. Long, keep them away. Don't let them get us again.
Hey, Miss Stark.
Come on now, Gale. Get yourself together. There's a whole gang of them, and they'll come after us again. I know they will.
The heck they will. What happened to you? Where you been? Your clothes look like they've been chewed up and spit out.
Yes, look at our clothes. You know what they did? They tied us up by the wrists.
Hey.
Yes, they did. And then they whipped us.
Tore your... Jerry, did they do that? Whip you?
You don't think these red stripes on my arm are for good behavior, do you?
Why, them... Ben, looky at them. Red welts as thick as your finger.
Yes, they'd better be taken care of. Why did they whip you?
Because I wouldn't sign my name, that's why.
Because you wouldn't sign your name?
Yes, for some reason they want to own Frozen Corp Lodge. It belongs to me. If they want me to sign my name transferring the place to them.
So they whipped you.
Yes, but I wouldn't sign.
She was going to once, on my account, but I wouldn't let her.
Oh, good girls. It's just as well for you you didn't, because if you had, you'd undoubtedly be dead and buried by this time.
Yes, they were talking about killing us. They didn't know I overheard them, but they were planning to.
Well, them babies just done just about all the murdering and woman-whooping they're gonna do. Hey, Jack, come here. Come here and listen to this.
Come on, Pio. You and Jones keep ahead of me. So, you girls actually were down here.
Huh, what's the idea, Jack? You got your shooting pistol on Pio and Jones?
Yes.
Why? What's happened now?
You all heard Jones come out of Stark's room and say that he was returning to consciousness and about to talk?
Yeah.
When Jones and Pio and I went into the room, Stark was dead.
Oh, no!
Died of a gunshot wound, huh?
No. Died of a knife plunged into his throat.
Hey!
Hey, that was a terrible thing to say right in front of Miss Stark.
Look, things are happening too fast to pull any punches at this time. Either Jones here or Pio killed Stark. Jones could have done it before he came out of the room, all the time pretending Stark was returning to consciousness. Pio didn't enter the room until I did. If he killed Stark, he must have thrown the knife from the hallway during the confusion over the arrival of the girls.
Senor, I swear to you...
Shut up.
Packard, if it has to be one of those two, then your man is Pio.
Why? Why? Jones is much more logical. First, Doc catches him with the gun that shot Stark, and next, he was with Stark alone about the time he was knifed.
Yes, I know, but P.O.'s still the man.
Senor Ben, that is lying!
No, P.O., I know that Jones isn't guilty.
How do you know that?
Because Jones is my man. He and I were sent up here to investigate certain activities going on at Frozen Corpse Lodge.
Jones is not Butler?
No.
Well, I'll be doggone. Ben, you and Jones. Hey, look out!
He dived through the window.
He can't get away. He'll bog down in the snow.
I'll try to wing him from the porch.
Can you see him out the window, Jack?
He's got away, all right. He's over the runway and heading for the barn.
Well, you know he can't go any further than that barn.
If they've got snowshoes, they can. You'll excuse me. Jones and I have got work to do.
Jack, did you hear what Ben said? He and Jones is a couple of investigators.
Golly, things are happening so fast, I can't keep up with them.
Well, we'll let Ben take care of the barn angle of it for a while. We've got a job to do right here.
Jack, look at them welts on Jerry and Miss Stark.
That's what I'm talking about. Doc, run up and get the medical kit.
You betcha.
Oh, and bring a pan of warm water.
Okay.
I want both of you girls to lie down on the lounge here, face down.
Double operation, huh? Come on, Gail.
I'd forgotten all about my back. Poor J. Irving.
Oh, there we are.
While we're waiting for Doc, tell me what's happened. Jerry, you start in.
Well, two apes grabbed us up in my room and had us tied and gagged before we knew what was going on.
Uh-huh. Experts.
No kidding. They carried us downstairs and out the runway to the barn, and someplace in the barn, they opened up a trap door and then took us down some steps.
Down under the barn? You sure about that?
Yeah, sure. We came out the same way.
Yes. Maybe you'd better tell me about that now. If you were prisoners, how did you escape?
Well, how do you think we escaped? How would we escape?
Hey, Gail, take it easy.
What's the matter with her?
I'll tell you what's the matter with me. Bruce Garrett's lying out there in the barn, dead. That's what's the matter with me.
What? Garrett?
Yes, Garrett. He found us and untied us and then stood off those horrible people out there so we could get away. And just as we were leaving the barn, they turned a machine gun or something on him and he just crumpled up on the floor and died.
Is that true, Jerry?
Just like she told it. Only 100 times worse.
I'm going to spend the rest of my life hunting down those people if I never do anything else. Every one of them's going to get just what Jay Irving and Bruce got if I have to hand it out myself.
Poor kid.
Okay, Jack. Medical kit and some hot water. Anything else happen?
Bruce Garrett's dead.
Huh? Garrett's dead? Well, now ain't that a blessing to mankind.
Yes, you would say that, you callous, hard-hearted, money-grabbing detective, you.
Hey, wait a minute.
Cut it out, Doc.
But, Jack...
You should have known better than to have said a thing like that in the first place. Now, lie back down, Miss Stark, and let me take care of your back.
Bruce was right all the time. I hate myself because I suspected him.
Yes. Now, lie down. That's it. How many men are in the barn?
Oh.
And I'll be as careful as I can.
Well, the only ones we know were the ones called Tuffy and Spider. Then there was one or two in the telegraph room.
Telegraph room?
Up here? There's a telegraph room out in the barn?
Yes. When they first took us through the trap door, the man called Tuffy knocked on a door, and when it opened, we heard a telegraph instrument clicking.
Yeah, and was he wild.
Yes, he yelled, "Shut that door, I've got two dames."
And the guy in the telegraph room slammed the door in our faces like he'd just come face to face with a mad dog.
Oh, that's what it's all about.
Huh? What you mean, that's what it's all about?
Doc, start bathing Jerry's back with this warm water while I finish with Miss Stark.
Jack, I asked you a question.
And I didn't answer it. Here, put a little of this in the water.
Okay. Don't need a brick house to fall on me.
This is going to hurt a little, Miss Stark.
Okay. The more the better.
All right, Jerry. Here it comes.
Well, take it easy, pal. Every one of those red stripes on my back is a flaming welt of agony.
For which somebody's going to be mighty sorry for.
Ow! Hey! Take it easy, Doc! That hurts!
Doggone, feller. It's the first time I ever had the pleasure of washing a girl's back.
And look, you don't need to wash behind my ears. I had a bath this morning. Cut it out!
Well, that fixes you up, Miss Stark. How you doing, Doc?
I'm doing fine, but Jerry here's been howling like an abused hound dog. Best I could do.
That's fine.
What do you mean, fine? The way he went at me, you'd think he was used to scrubbing floors. If you ask me...
Hey, Packard! Doc Long!
Who is that?
Sounded like Mr. Ben.
Yes, Ben. We're in here.
One of you, come here. I need some help.
What's happened now, you suppose?
Go find out. I gotta finish with Jerry here.
Okay. Where are you, Ben? Here I come.
Out in the kitchen.
If just one more thing happens, I'm gonna fold up and die. How can a girl get herself into so many terrible things? It isn't as though I'd gone out and looked for it.
Okay, Ben. Easy, you're coming down the hall.
Hey, listen. Listen.
He keeps losing consciousness. Oh, terrific loss of blood.
Yeah, besides being half froze to death. Okay, now in the door.
Who is it? Who's hurt now?
Garrett. Bruce Garrett's alive?
Just barely. Now then, over in front of the fire with him. Down on the rug. Easy.
Bruce is still alive?
Oh, there.
He's unconscious now. I found him crawling and dragging himself through the snow about halfway between the barn and the lodge.
Pulse almost gone.
No use trying to do anything. He's as full of machine gun holes as a sieve.
What did you say? What are you two talking about over there?
We were just talking about his condition.
I know what you're talking about.
Hey, stay here, Gail.
I will not stay here. Let go of me. All you're doing is standing over him gloating. Why don't you do something for him? Why do you just stand there?
Gail.
Hey, he's conscious.
Oh, Bruce, look what they've done to you.
No. Look what I've done to myself.
What do you mean?
Gail, I'm just about washed up. It isn't going to do me a bit of good to keep anything back. I got myself into this, and I got J. Irving into this. I don't care about that. But I didn't mean to drag you in.
Yeah, he's gone out again.
No. I just after rest.
Oh, please, Bruce, whatever it is, don't try to talk. It doesn't matter now.
Oh, it does matter. I didn't realize how much it mattered until they kidnapped you. Then I knew. They're vicious as mad dogs. They're dangerous. Not only to this group of people here, but to... I think I'm going.
Oh, no, Bruce, no.
Watch out for Peel. Watch out for Peel. Peel.
He's dead.
Well, that makes our job mighty doggone plain. Get P.O. and we got the murderer. Just one more trip to the barn. What are we waiting for?
This has been a presentation of a lost old-time radio show by American Radio Theater. I Love a Mystery was written by Carlton E. Morris. This was Book 25, Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge. Directed by Marge Lutton, assisted by Greg Porter, and produced by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Cole Hornaday as Jack Packard, Renaud LaBeouf as Doc Long, with Joy Jackson as Jerry Booker, Melinda Maines as Gail Stark, Michael Mokey O'Reilly as Pio, Greg Porter as A.J. Ben and the narrator, Dan Schindler as J. Irving Stark, Kim Turner as Mansfield, and Richard Haviland as Tuffy. Thanks also to Harry Thiel and Mike Wheeler. Live sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. Music by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. Terror at Frozen Corpse Lodge was originally broadcast May 22 to June 14, 1951. I'm Pat McNally, whom you also heard as Bruce Garrett and Jones the Butler. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's have a listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
CBS presents Woody Herman and his orchestra. To you, wherever you are, music by Woody Herman and his orchestra, sent to you by CBS. From the Café Rouge of the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City. Join us a while, why don't you? Gone is that blue flame. Here's a tune sung by Woody Herman. You know it. It's called Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby.
Is you is or is you ain't my baby? Way you're acting lately makes me doubt. You're still my baby, baby. One thing don't find out. Woman is a creature that always seems strange. When you show up, when you find, she's gone and made a change. Is, or is you ain't my baby? Maybe baby's found somebody new. Is my baby still my baby true? When you find she's gone and made a change. Is you ain't my baby. Maybe baby's found somebody new. Is my baby still my baby true?
you is or is you ain't? Well, you must be is or something, because here's Francis Wayne to sing, Woody Herman to play Irresistible You.
Drawn to you, I know from the first it was so. I was caught in the undertow and was lost from the moment we kissed. Irresistible you, my heart has gone to you, and your magic eyes seem to magnetize every part of me. I'm yours, my heart and I insist, for we to resist irresistible you.
Take the A train and head uptown, because Woody Herman would like for us to meet the 125th Street Prophet. Woody? Thank you. Woody Herman sings. He's backed by the boys in the band, and we've got the world on a string.
I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. I've got the song that I sing. I can make the rain go anytime I move my finger. Lucky me, can't you see I'm in love? Life is a beautiful thing. As long as I hold the string, I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let go. I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love.
Of the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City, CBS is sending your way the music of Woody Herman and his orchestra. Once again, here's Francis Wayne. The band plays on. It's only a song. It's a crying shame.
Another dream gone by, instead of holding it tightly as devotion demands. You treated love so lightly, it slipped out of our hands, And it's a crying shame that you should mean so much to me. Did you light the flame to watch the embers die? The plans we made were so precious, but you didn't follow them through. You left me crying, crying shame on you.
One, sent from Duke Ellington to Woody Herman. We send it along to you from Woody Herman. I ain't got nothing but the blues. Got the change of a nickel. Ain't got no bounce in my shoes. Ain't got no fancy to tickle. I ain't got nothing but the blues. Ain't got no coffee that's perking. Ain't got no winnings to lose. Ain't got a dream that's working. I ain't got nothing but the blues. When trumpets flare up, I keep my hair up. I just can't make it come down. Believe me, Pappy, I can't get happy since my ever-loving baby left town. Ain't got no rest in my slumber. Ain't got no feelings to bruise. Maybe I ain't got no telephone numbers. I ain't got nothing but the blues. Thank you.
I ain't got nothing but the blues.
Now, what more can we say than Woody Herman, his clarinet, his orchestra, and we go flying home.
That's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. You know, we put up a new one every month. Hey, see you next time!